really, I think we could leave now, and the message has already been shared. Patrick shared with us, for me, what was a very moving testimony of obedience. And I know Patrick well enough to know Patrick is gifted in many ways and has many options of things that he could be choosing to do with his life right now. And things probably with a lot more certainty than going to Austria and doing the things he's described to us. But he's trusted God. And we've been able to be witness to that and can even have opportunity to be a part of that experience as we choose. And then the scripture today that was read. I often read the scripture myself, but I've invited some others to come and read that. And you know the experience for me sitting in the pew and allowing those words to be read and me trying to absorb that, there's meaning in the scripture itself. And I'll try to share briefly some thoughts and what I think God has as a message for us today through that. But the words of scripture are a powerful thing. So I invite us, at any time that's being read, just to be open to what God may be saying through that. Well, today's passage, the focus is going to be on Jesus' baptism. So, this is something that people, in different ways, myself at times too, have also struggled with. It's the baptism of Jesus. Why did Jesus need to be baptized anyway? Jesus was a perfect person, and baptism is usually a symbol of the fact that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've realized that we've done things wrong. We've asked for forgiveness. And so what does it mean? Why was Jesus baptized anyway? And then we know we always say this is a model. We follow in baptism because that's what Jesus did. But what does that really mean? So I want us to reflect on that just really briefly today. And as the scripture's already been read, and you might want to open your Bibles to that, and it's the reference is listed in your bulletin. The first one is Matthew 3, 13 through 17. But I want to begin with what I call John's question. John asked Jesus a question. He said, "I need to baptize you, and do you come to me?" Now, I'm imagining, this is completely me, it's not another paraphrase, it's just me thinking, I'm imagining what John may be experiencing at this time, and if it were me, this is what would be going through. I'd say, you know, you're Jesus, and I'm John. I'm the opposite of you, Jesus. I've messed up every single day of my life. And it's just like I've been telling the people around here, I need you, we need you. Yet you're coming and asking me to baptize you. God, Jesus, this doesn't make sense to me. And I think if I were John, that's where I would have gone with that. That's why I think that question was being asked, because of what John was struggling with. But then Jesus had a response. Jesus' response, he just said, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." A way that I could have imagined it happen as well is Jesus saying, "I mean it. I want you to baptize me, and I want you to do it now." And you know what? This is less about you and more about God and His plan. That's what I could imagine. If you're trying to read between the lines, that John, and rightfully so, he wanted to be who God wanted to be. But in this moment, I believe reading between the lines, we can see that Jesus is saying, "You know, John, what you said is right, but right now this is more about God and His plan than it is about you." And so there are some times that we get hung up on that as well. We get so focused on us and on inadequacies and who we are, instead of just acknowledging, accepting, realizing what it is Jesus has called us to, that we make it more about ourselves than we should. We need to pay attention to Jesus' response. But then there wasn't only John's question and Jesus' response. There's also John's action. You know what the scripture said John did after Jesus made this comment? What does the scripture say John did? One word. He consented. Thank you, Joey. He consented. He followed through, and the result was amazing. And when we do that, God almost always shows up in some way that's undisputable. Are we consenting to what God is asking us to do in our lives today? You know, we call ourselves Baptists. And we do that because we say that we understand the importance of baptism by immersion, and that's the model of Jesus Christ, and this is a foundation upon what we stand. But have we embraced this full meaning of what baptism is really about and what Jesus intended when He modeled that for us? And that experience that we see John in the midst of, have we really embraced that? Or do we just do it because our family's always been Baptist, or that's just the name of the church we go to? And you know, Baptist doesn't mean nearly as much to me as being a part of the kingdom of God does. So that's really not where I'm trying to go with that. But I want us to understand that there is something important about baptism. There is something that we want to understand that maybe we haven't paid a lot of attention to in the past. And then, kind of the last portion of this verse, I want us to consider God's voice. God said, "This is my Son whom I love. With Him, I am well pleased." When we respond to God's leading, rarely is God silent. Now, I'm not going to say the heavens are going to open and a dove is going to come down on you every time you follow what it is God wants you to do. But I do believe God will respond. I do believe you will feel the favor that you have in Jesus Christ for your obedience. And that is one of the most awesome feelings this side of heaven. As we continue, I want to look that this other scripture is a scripture from Paul, but it talks about Peter's message after the baptism. So it's connecting this whole idea of baptism together. Now I want to go back and read just a portion, Acts chapter 10, and verses beginning with verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 says this. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." The first thing I want to start off talking about here is what he mentions about not showing favoritism, about no partiality, and that leads to peace. I struggle, and I think some others do at times as well, with just what goes on around us, and sometimes the condition of our country, maybe our community, maybe the environment that you live in. And I'm proud to be a part of the United States, and thank God's blessed us, and I'm fortunate to live where I do, and I'm thankful for that, and I try not to take that for granted. And there was a part of me, like many I've heard say, that leading up to the election, people got frustrated, and there seemed to be sides and division, and there was just a hope in me that after that there wouldn't be that sense of division like that anymore. Somehow or another, we would be able to come together. Unfortunately, that I haven't seen as much of that as I would have hoped for. In fact, I've seen, and maybe it's just because of where I've been and where I've heard it, but there have been at least one case I know where someone was abused, beat, and supposedly because of the fact that people didn't like the person who was elected as our new president. And then on the other side of that, I've heard, I don't have any proof to substantiate it, so I don't know that this is true or not, but I could imagine it being true, that in an elementary school, there was one child that went up to another child and said, you know, you're not going to be able to stay here very long because you're going to be sent back to another country. Now, I hope every one of you voted, and regardless of who you voted for, I doubt you're going to think that either one of these things was appropriate. Yet, we live in a world where somehow or another this continues to happen, and I think it does. It has very little to do with our politics. It has more to do with our priorities and where we live and what's important to us and allowing God to guide and lead us in that way. So if we go back to the scripture where it talks about no favoritism, no partiality. And I didn't get a chance to ask you ahead of time, Patrick, but these refugees that you'll be working with, is there any sense at all where some of these are considered outcasts or not appreciated? All of them. So, and I didn't plan it this way. I didn't plan the sermon this way, but I think that fits. That's where Patrick is going. He's going to give his life, at least for 2 years, to help people who others look down their nose at. That's what it means to love and care for others. So, first is to realize that. And again, not to blame it on politics, but to just look at our own hearts. And from that, we can have peace that manifests itself when we're willing to put aside our biases, our differences, and see others as God sees them. And allow God to use us to meet their needs and to love them with the love of Christ. And then this just brings me to the conclusion. And I've described that as baptism, the Holy Spirit, and doing good. Baptism doesn't provide salvation, but baptism is a sign of the committed change in one's life. It also signifies the power we receive, the actual power. It signifies it. It doesn't necessarily happen just because you're dunked. But it signifies the power of the Holy Spirit and the fact that we're a new creation. And this power gives us the ability to serve and do good in the name of Christ in a way that we can't do without it. So I go back to where we were at the beginning. God doesn't fix us so that we can become worthy of serving, like what John wanted. John said, I can't do this for you, God, because I'm not worthy. You need to fix me first. And then God's basically saying, John, it's not so much about you as it is about the kingdom. God doesn't fix us so we can become worthy of serving him. God invites us, as we are, to enter into relationship with him, to be a part of his plan and his kingdom. And it's through this process that we grow and develop into the believers that God created us to be. I'm going to ask our praise team to come up and close. And as they do, you're invited to respond. And as you think about baptism, I'm imagining it. I don't know if anyone's been to a wedding recently, but typically when you go to a wedding, if you're single, you begin sometimes thinking about what it's going to be like when and if you ever get married. And if you've already married and you go to a wedding, you may have a tendency to think back to that day of your wedding day and what that was like and get rejuvenated, the excitement of that. Well, as we talk about baptism today and the baptism that Jesus had and the model of baptism, I want you to go there. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never been baptized because of that profession of faith, I invite you to think about that today and how it could change your life forever. And I'd love to have more of a discussion with you about that. And the altar's open for that right now. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But if you've made a profession of faith and you've been baptized, go back to that day, to that excitement, to knowing the feeling of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and embrace that in a way that takes you to places you can't go by yourself. Altar's open. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 362, Baptized in Water.